How many of you like to be encouraged? Okay, and by absence of some hands raised, how many of you don't like to be encouraged? Come on. Yeah, we all do, don't we? I'm hoping that today will be an encouragement to you. I want you to be encouraged. There's good reason to be encouraged. But I found it very interesting, and it struck me again as Peter read those wonderful words from Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to look at them again today, talking about how Joshua is commanded to be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Have I not told you? Be strong and courageous. Why do you think Joshua, a man of God, followed Moses for years, was faithful in his report of the promised land, even though the other 10 spies were not? Why do you think he has to be told to be strong and courageous? Why do you think he has to be told not to be discouraged? I guarantee you Joshua struggled with being discouraged. I guarantee you Joshua struggled with doubts and disappointments and feeling like, oh my goodness, this is overwhelming, I'm likely to fail. God has to say, not once, repeatedly, do not be discouraged. Be strong. Be courageous. Why? Because Joshua, like every one of us, struggles with doubts and fears and discouragement. I once had a guy upset at me at a different church I was at because I was not perfect enough for him. I actually struggled with being discouraged, and I was too human, I think he was how he described it. Well, we all are, aren't we? And I would love to stand up and say, I don't make mistakes, and I'm perfect, and I'm strong, and I never fear, and I never doubt, and that would all be a big pile of lies now, wouldn't it? Many times I'm discouraged. Many times I need to hear the Lord's words that says again, do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. I have a continual battle, it seems, with going through bouts of depression, discouragement. And so I went to Mexico, went on a great missions trip, doing things for the Lord. And so, you know, it's easy to fall into that trap of thinking, well, I'm doing something for the Lord, so I'm going to feel great. It's going to be awesome. Or the enemy could attack you in the midst of that. Just a side note, could happen. And I had a time. Actually, we came back to San Diego. I was having a very hard time. Actually, on the night that we were saying goodbye to our friends that we had worked with, and it was a very overwhelming time for me. And Matthias and I had talked about a guy by the name of David Jeremiah. He pastors a church in San Diego. How many of you heard of David Jeremiah? A couple of you. Excellent, excellent Bible preacher. A gentleman that I've watched and heard here. But he just so happens to have his church not too far away from where we were staying in San Diego. So Matthias said, well, I'd like to go see him. It was a Saturday night service, live at 5, the casual service at this church. And David Jeremiah, who usually preaches in suit and tie, you know, Saturday he's got his Hawaiian shirt and his jeans on, and he's all cool and talking. And I had said the words that day. I'm just going to be very, I'll be very frank and honest with you because it's easier. Than to try to fool you. And I had said words like, I just don't really feel like this life is worth living. Yeah, I said it. I did. There's been times over the past year where I've just about begged God to just take my life. You know what? I'm done. I don't want any more of this. So I go to the service. Just put that in the back of your head for a moment. David Jeremiah is speaking on the book of Job. He goes through his sermon, and I'm listening, and it's, you know, it's good stuff. Because he's a good preacher. And then he gets to the part where he says, maybe you're here today, and you feel like life's not worth living. What? What was that? Then he says, maybe you, like Job, have said, God, I don't want this life anymore. You take it from me. Okay, you've got my attention now. The Lord was able to encourage my heart. How in the world God knew that at that moment I needed that needed David Jeremiah to say those words from that particular passage. By the way, if we hadn't gone to that service, we were thinking about going to the Sunday morning service, but David Jeremiah would not have been there to preach that sermon because he was leaving right after that service at 5 o'clock to get knee surgery done. He would have been gone. He's going to be out for I don't know how many weeks now. God had me there at that moment, that particular time, to hear that message of encouragement that I needed. And I know for a fact that you will have times where you need to be encouraged. And folks, you need encouragement from the Word and the presence of the Lord. That's where your encouragement is. That is where your hope is. That is where your strength is. That is where your courage is. And if you try to find it elsewhere, it'll be a very pointless effort. Be strong and courageous. I want to look at this phrase a little bit. Be strong and courageous. It appears several times in the first chapter of Joshua, and Peter did an excellent job of reading that for us. There's a number of other places we find it as well. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 says, "Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Then continuing in that passage, verse 7 and 8, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. You must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" And further on in that same chapter, the Lord gave this command. And you notice the words here, folks. It's not just a suggestion. I love this. A command. Be strong and courageous. That's a command of God to Moses. Be strong and courageous. "For you will bring," not "you might bring," "you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you." Then we have the passages that Peter read. In verses 6 through 9, there are three of those verses that use that phrase again: be strong and courageous. Let's look at them again. Just Joshua 1, 6 through 9. "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Verse 7. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you?" Lest we doubted that it was a command. He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Joshua chapter 1, verse 18. "Whoever rebels against your word, does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." And then chapter 10, verse 25, Joshua now turns, and I love this, later on in the book of Joshua, we're moving on in the progression of his life. What does he turn around and begin to say? Joshua 10, verse 25, "Joshua said to them, 'Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged.'" What? "Be strong and courageous." It's catching. Moses says it. God says it. And now Joshua himself says it to the people of Israel. You know what? I think God would say to me, and God would say to you, be strong. Be courageous. It's very easy to look at circumstances. We can look at the finances of the church, or we can look at attendance, or we can look at challenges we've had and struggles and say, what do we do? I have a suggestion. Be strong, be courageous. Trust and depend not on yourself. Go in His strength. Go according to His word. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. How do we overcome our self-doubt, our fear, our feelings of inadequacy, our desire for someone else to do it? I love it. Moses says, be strong and courageous. You're going to lead these people in the promised land. I'm thinking he's saying to himself, do I get a vote in this? I nominate Caleb. He's a pretty good guy, and he gave a good report like the other 10 spies didn't. He seems like he's kind of old, but he seems to know what he's talking about. Right? There's other guys. No, you be strong and courageous. You do what I tell you to tell you where to go. Okay. Be strong and courageous. How do we do this? Two things. And we sung about it already this morning. We sung that song, Breathe, Your Holy Presence Living in Me, Your Very Word Spoken to Me. This is the air I breathe. And that's where you find your courage. That's where you find your encouragement. That's where you find your strength. By the presence of God and by the Word of God, the Spirit and the Word. Again, we're looking at Joshua 1. The first 9 verses, verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Notice how being successful and prosperous is hinged upon meditating daily on the Word of God. Notice the Word of God has to be what leads and guides us. Has to. He says, you want to be prosperous. You want to be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And then the end of verse 9, after he again says, I've commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified. He says, do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, we already talked about this idea of the Word of God, the book of the law not departing from, but then he says, the Lord will be with you. So what is that? That is his presence. The Word of God, the presence of God. I don't know about you, if I'm going to accomplish something that terrifies me, I like to have somebody else with me. If you're afraid of the dark, maybe as a kid you were terrified of the dark. It's a little different if you're afraid of the dark and somebody's holding your hand and walking you through the dark, isn't it? Doesn't that make it a whole lot better? I was convinced as a child that there were tickle monsters under my bed. I was. You could not have told me otherwise. I was terrified that there were tickle monsters underneath my bed. As much as my brother Alan is an annoying creature. Oh, don't worry. I'll tell him to listen to the sermon online. That's fine. It was good to have his annoying presence in the bed with me when I knew that there were terrible tickle monsters underneath the bed. True story. Anyway. Joshua is told, the Lord will be with you wherever you go. He will protect you from tickle monsters and very large Canaanite people who want you dead and disgruntled Israelites who get frustrated with the timing of how things are working out. I'll be with you. Yeah, it's going to be not the most fun you've ever had, but you know what? I'll be with you. My presence will be with you. If we want to be that victorious church of Jesus, if we want to be strong and courageous, if we want to grow in numbers as people are one to faith in Christ, and I have to emphasize that, I want this body to grow as people come to know Jesus Christ. I don't necessarily, we're not looking for just filling up pews to fill up pews' sake. I want people to come and find Jesus as Lord and Savior. We want to see that happen. We want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm hoping to hear that someday. If we want to be that body that's all built together and doing what God is calling, we want to do all that, then we need to rely on the Spirit of God, His presence, and the Word of God, His instruction for us. Not just for Joshua. It wasn't just for the early church in the New Testament. It is for us. In fact, consider the fact that we are a congregational church. What does that mean? Does that mean we're a democracy? I think a lot of people think that. Congregationalist Reverend Gordon Booth wrote the following. He said, "At all costs, the authority of Jesus Christ as supreme head of His church must be maintained. The problem of the modern church meeting is that all too often a democratic notion has been substituted for a theocratic principle. The rule of men is substituted for the rule of God." What's the point? What's he saying? He, as a congregationalist, is saying, it's not the people that lead the church. God that leads the church. His presence needs to guide us, and His word needs to guide us. That's who rules and reigns in the church. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15 and through 17, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Ah, here's that presence we talked about. Remember that? Joshua is encouraged and told, "I will be with you wherever you go." Well, how's God going to be with us? Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." And then in chapter 16 of the same book, verse 7, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Spirit and the Word. The presence of God, the Word of God. Jesus is in charge of His church. He leads how? By His presence. What is His presence? His Holy Spirit. The pilgrims came to this country, started the churches that came to be known as congregational. And those pilgrims, their focus was on obedience to the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. They actually fought for the freedom of being bound to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Freedom to be bound. Arthur Rauner, he actually spoke. Some of the people from our church went and saw him give a lecture a year or so ago. Arthur Rauner is a writer on congregationalism. In fact, he wrote the textbook that we used a few months ago on congregationalism, way of life. And he says this, he says, "The polity and structural organization in itself meant little to the pilgrims. The gospel meant everything. I believe it is at this point that we American congregationalists have betrayed our heritage, for too many of us, our concern for church liberty has become a political concern. We've stood for freedom, not so that Christ could tell us what to do, but so that no one could tell us what to do. When spiritual and evangelical liberty becomes substituted by this rational and political liberty, then the driving force, the enthusiasm and motivation of free churches soon dies." What he's talking about is what I've tried to say to you many times. We have got to be bound by our desire to see people transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we're about. And when we cease to be about that, we cease to be a church at all, congregational or otherwise. We've ceased to be a church, period, by definition. The early congregationalists, the early pilgrims, and in fact all churches of Jesus Christ are motivated by seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ impact hearts, lives, communities, and nations. How in the world can we impact our community? How can we see lives around these four walls transformed by the power of Jesus Christ? That's a daunting task. It's even more scary, I think, isn't it, than being afraid of tickle monsters. It's probably more scary than being afraid of the dark. It's more overwhelming. I mean, you think about it. That's a tall order, is it not? How in the world are we going to see our community turned around by the gospel of Jesus Christ? How are we going to do that? by the presence of God and by the word of God. It worked for Joshua as he led the people of Israel, led by God's presence, and careful to meditate on the book of the law, not let its words depart from his mouth day or night, being careful to do all that was inside it so that he would be prosperous and successful. The word of God and the presence of God. Folks, I've got great words of encouragement. When I say that we need the word of God and we need the presence of God, I'm not talking about things we can't have. I'm talking about things we already have. Boy, that's encouraging. It's one thing to say, I could be successful if I only had this, but I can't have it. Well, that's discouraging. We can be successful in doing what God has called us to do if we only had his presence and his word. But we do. We do. So be encouraged. Embrace his word and embrace his presence. Do not be discouraged. Do not be terrified. But be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the encouragement that you bring to us. Are the challenges great? Of course they are. But your presence and your word is greater than our challenges. And your strength is greater than our strength. Your courage is greater than our courage. Bring us to a place, we ask, Lord, where we have no strength left. We have no courage left. So that we then rely upon you completely for our strength and our courage. We say, this is the air I breathe, and we say, I'm lost, I'm desperate without you. Bring us to a place where we need you as much as we need air to breathe. Thank you that you've given us all that we need, as your word declares. We've already been given all that we need for life and godliness. Thank you for your courage and your strength. Your presence and your word. Amen. As the ushers come forward, we're going to worship the Lord with our giving. I encourage you to give large amounts generously out of love from your heart. I want to share one more thing. I meant to mention it in the sermon, but this is just a little extra freebie for you. Pastor Adolfo came to the campsite in Mexico. He's one of the pastors that Amora works with directly. And he talked about the fact that because of the news media and how they have badly portrayed Mexico, there are hundreds of homes that were lined up to be built this year that will not be built. Because churches and groups that had signed up to go on the trip have said, no, we're not going now. Some of them, 600 homes will not be built. There are people who have been devastated. Families that were told, we're going to give you a home, and now are told, sorry.
Materials were dropped at the site. And then they had to come and say, no, the churches are coming. People backed out because of the disturbance. I'm sorry. It was
And what was neat is, you know what Pastor Adolfo said? It was uncanny for me because I felt the Lord draw me back to sermons I'd already preached for the last 2 weeks before I went to Mexico, and then this is the last one. You know what he spoke on, right? Joshua chapter 1. What are we going to do? 600 homes aren't going to be built. We're needing money. We're needing this. We're needing that. He says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be strong and courageous. That's what he said. You think circumstances are tough? They're tougher somewhere else. And a man of God is standing there, and you know what he's saying? Be strong. Be courageous. God's in control.